Good evening. Thanks for listening to Panhandle Community Radio, and you've tuned in for Know Your States, Know Your Community. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy, and each week we are talking to, I'll generalize and say that each week we're talking to people from the different 50 states in our union who ultimately ended up here in North Idaho, and or at least became part of our community here at Panhandle Community Radio. Today, however, we're going to do something a little different. We're interviewing somebody from North Idaho who has become a resident of the Green Mountain State, the 14th state in the Union, the first that was not one of the original 13 colonies, which adopted the which was adopted into the Union on March 4th, 1791. Home to 648,000 people, making it our 49th most populous state, or another way of putting that would be second least populous state. We're talking to a new Vermonter named Maddie Mitchell. Hi, Maddie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And yes, and you are a relatively new resident of the state of Vermont. Where do you reside in Vermont?
Yeah, I just moved to Vermont in August. I live in Middlebury. I go to Middlebury College. So I'm a baby Vermonter.
Okay. And tell us a little bit, where is Middlebury in relationship to the state?
Yeah, Middlebury is about a little bit south from the middle of Vermont. We're right in the middle of Vermont, but a tiny bit south.
Okay, and can you give us a guess how wide Vermont is? It looks like it's not, it looks like it could be about as wide as the Idaho Panhandle.
Maybe the fat part of Vermont, uh-huh. The north part of Vermont could be as big as the Panhandle, but it's very small. You can drive across both Vermont and New Hampshire in about 2 hours. So
wow.
Yeah, very, very small.
So tell us about the geography around Middlebury. What's it like?
Yeah, so Middlebury is a rural Vermont town. We have a population of about 7,000 people, including the college students. So that goes down to about 4,500 in the summertime. And we are surrounded by mountains that are much smaller than the Idaho mountains, but they are still green mountains, mm-hmm. as Jack was saying. Mm-hmm. There's a creek that runs through Middlebury called the Otter Creek, but it has a lot of agricultural runoff, so you can't swim in it. But we're about a 20-minute drive from Lake Champlain, which is a beautiful, large lake that is...
Is that the upper right-hand corner of Vermont?
Yeah, the upper left. Right now, it's on... Yeah. Burlington is on...
Upper left, yeah.
On Lake Champlain.
It looks like a string bean, like just very thin and narrow.
It's very long, too, yeah.
Have you been up there?
I have. I have some friends that go to University of Vermont, so I've gone to stay with them, and I've gone swimming in Lake Champlain.
Cold?
It's pretty cold. I would say it's not quite as cold as Lake Pend'Oreille, but that could be, I don't know, bias.
That is a big lake, and that's the border between, in that part of the state, it's the border between New York and Vermont.
Yes, yeah.
We should talk more about Lake Champlain, because I'm curious about that, especially how it, you know, compares to our lake here. It looks like they're kind of similarly sized. They're both big lakes.
They are. Actually, like, was caught off guard because I didn't know how big Lake Champlain was. And I was like, oh, I come from a state with a giant lake. I live on a big... And then they were like, well, this is a pretty big lake, too. So yeah. It's big, but it's skinnier. Like, the fat part's not as large as Lake Pend'Oreille.
Yeah.
Is it deep?
I don't think it's not nearly as deep as Pend'Oreille, but okay.
Few of them are. Yeah. Right? It looks like it. I have the data here. It says it's about 400 feet deep.
Yeah.
Which is a deep lake, but just not, you know,
not as deep as ours.
They do have. There's ferries that run across from New York to Vermont.
There are. What's on the New York side?
There's the Plattsburgh.
Plattsburgh, New York is up there.
Yeah, Burlington is on it in Vermont, on the Vermont side, and Plattsburgh is on the other side. So this is interesting to live on a lake comparable to Lake Pend'Oreille, but unlike Lake Pend'Oreille, and it is also, it looks like, surrounded largely by kind of the evergreen forests and things, but it's in a part of the country that's been inhabited for what, 300 or 400 years.
Yeah.
And well established, a lot of population up there.
There's like a lot of, there's a train that runs right up on the border of the lake, and there's just, there's way more boats than there are here, and there's houses all along the lake. It's not as quiet as it is here.
That's cool that there's a ferry, though. You can go, you can get across the lake that way.
Yeah.
Always, I wish, there. I mean, there have been ferries on Lake Pend'Oreille historically, but like, yeah, we're talking, I don't know, a very long time ago before it was easier to get around by car. So, yeah, there hasn't been one for a long time, but at, I think that would be cool to have an actual kind of a, if you could take the ferry over to Hope for the day and come back. Oh, in the
that
night,
would be really nice. Be,
well, what took you to Vermont?
Well, college, but I chose Vermont after visiting it. It's kind of like weirdly like North Idaho. The small towns really remind me of Sandpoint, and they've got a lot of outdoor activities up in Vermont. There's lots of good ski mountains, surprisingly, on the East Coast, but and the trees, and it's just a beautiful place, and the academics as well were really attractive.
So how large is Middlebury College?
Middlebury College has around 2,800 people.
Okay, and what's the student body like?
There's a lot of international students. Okay. We're a big language school, so we attract a lot of international students, but a lot of them are just people from all over the country and the world who are really outdoorsy and really academically motivated. So you'll see people out playing frisbee on the lawn and going backpacking on the weekends, and then on the weekdays they'll be studying out like till past midnight. So it's just really active people.
Okay, and from North Idaho, what attracted you to Middlebury in terms of all the schools that you could have applied to? What was sort of the, do you remember the reason why you chose to apply there and then lo and behold accepted there?
Yeah, my dad and I did a college tour trip on the East Coast my senior year. And when we visited Middlebury, ultimately it was like just seeing the student body. This is going to sound kind of crazy, but they were all wearing like Blundstone boots and Birkenstocks, and they all kind of looked like they're from Sandpoint, and but just kind of with a little bit more northeast to them. And then my tour guide really just, he sold it for me. He was talking about how everyone loves to be there and how many activities you could do. And yeah, my tour guide really sold it for me, and I'm sad he graduated. So.
Has everything held true?
Yeah, everyone that goes to Middlebury wholeheartedly wants to be there, and they participate in so many activities, and you can just meet people that are just the coolest people you've ever met.
Okay, and now that you've almost been a semester there, okay, what's that been like? Your courses, your classmates,
Yeah, I've met some of the people that I've met have been my favorite people that I've ever met. I've made some amazing friends, and the classes are really academically rigorous, but they are super fun, and our professors are all motivating, and our classes are challenging, but I've really loved it.
What was your what courses did you take this term?
Yeah, so I took a healthcare ethics class, which is for pre-med students, and I'm not going to be a pre-med student, but I thought I would take it anyway. It was actually a religious class. And then I took a international global studies course, which is just intro to international global studies. I was in a history course on the early modern period in Europe. And then I was in a first year writing seminar.
Cool, cool. You have experienced fall there.
Oh, yes.
So you, because we from here, we hear everybody, oh, you must go out to New England and catch the trees and whatever. Can you talk about that?
It is spectacular. The fall in Vermont, the trees, the hills look like they're on fire. Every tree is a radiant color, like reds, orange, yellows. And like it's for the rolling hills are all just like lit up. And especially when the sun starts to set and you get like the alpine glow on the mountains. It's so beautiful.
Wow. Wow. Well, it sounds like road trip.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, and you said a variety of colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are most of the trees there? Are they maples or oaks or?
We have a lot of maple trees. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ginkgo trees, which smell horrible. I didn't know what ginkgo trees were really until I moved out there. And they are gorgeous. They are like the vibrant yellow, but they smell so bad.
I did not know that.
I did not know that. Blame it on the ginkgo.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't that a like a drug? Or don't people take that as a supplement for their, I don't know. Okay. Never mind. Okay.
We won't go there. Won't go there. Okay.
Okay.
Tell me in terms of, is the entire state lit up in the fall? Or, you know, like you get up towards Canada, or does that get more piney and... Or you haven't had a chance to explore that there yet?
I've been pretty North Vermont for some Frisbee tournaments, but it doesn't get that much, you know, evergreen-er like it does here.
Okay.
I was really surprised with the lack of evergreens, but it is, when you go up to go on hikes, you know, there's like the alpine level, so there starts to be more evergreen.
Mm-hmm. The town of Middlebury, small town, comparable to Sandpoint. And a true college town.
Yeah.
I mean, a real, you know, there's lots of towns with colleges in it, but it really seems like, you know, when you're talking about basically half the population, or, you know, a big chunk of the population just being the student body. What's that like? How does the town of Middlebury compare to Sandpoint?
Yeah, I would say that the town and the college, instead of being like two separate entities, they're very much combined. Like, there are a lot of programs that students do that are involved with the towns. For example, there's this thing where you get called Community Friends, where you're a college student is paired with an elementary school student and they hang out once a week. So there's a lot of ways to get involved with the community, and everyone like hangs out on the campus, like that are members of the town community, and students work in town. So it's really like everyone is friends with each other. It's a very friendly community, and it's so small that you kind of have to be a friendly community. I would say it'd be bad if they were in. Yeah.
I would say that probably the college is the major employer in the town.
Yeah, almost all of the adults that you meet there are professors with young kids, or they work in the dining hall, or they work in the career for community engagement and stuff like that.
And the buildings in town, are they old?
Oh my goodness, yes, they're old. We have like very much brick buildings that are ancient, and then at the end of our downtown street we have a classic white New England church that has been
a steeple
restored. Yes, it's beautiful. But our downtown is smaller than Sandpoint. It is just one road, and there's a bridge, and you go over it and you can drive 2 minutes and you're out of town. So it's small.
What's the largest city close by to Middlebury?
I think Burlington is the largest city closest. Which is like 40 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
That's very reasonable.
It's kind
it?
Of like the equivalent to Coeur d'Alene, and it's the same size as Coeur d'Alene too.
Okay. What's what do you find Burlington to be like?
I like Burlington. It's let me say something nice. It's it's a college town as well, but it's a different type of college town, and it has the airport. Where we fly in and out of. It's got REI. There's a lot of construction going on in downtown Burlington right now, which makes it less welcoming than it usually is, I think.
Yeah.
But I do like all the buildings. They're also that classic old brick buildings.
You can speak freely, Maddie. You don't have to just say nice things. Say whatever comes to your mind. I guess, were you thinking the new construction, is that, does it feel like Burlington is changing?
I think so. And I think it makes it a little bit, it does not feel very welcoming with all the construction going on. There's also just a lot of like, not like nightlife. It's like, when you go out at night at Burlington, it's not, doesn't feel as safe as going out at night at Middlebury, which makes sense. It's a bigger city. But.
Yeah, I suppose so. Is it, that's another old city? Is Burlington kind of a walkable place as well?
Yeah.
I mean, it has a little, because it's, you know, all those cities that kind of exploded before the car. It seems like everybody had to be crowded together.
Yeah, you can, it's a definitely walkable downtown, and it's really close to the University of Vermont. That's where the University of Vermont is, but it's definitely not as, you know, connected as Middlebury is.
Mm-hmm.
And the campus of UVM expands much larger and around Burlington. It's a lot spread out. So you'll be walking in downtown Burlington, suddenly you'll be at another spot in UVM.
That is, Burlington is the largest city. Let's see, Montpelier.
Our capital.
The capital, which is the, hold on, I believe.
Is that the biggest city? I think
Burlington's the biggest city. Montpelier actually has a different record. Montpelier is the least populous state capital. in the United States. And the population is only 8,000 people.
Whoa, that's like having Sandpoint as a
capital. Yeah, as Montpelier. What can you do in Montpelier other than work for the state government, I wonder, if you're, you know, 8,000 people. That's not a lot.
No.
Yeah.
Smaller than Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I'd like to ask you, Maddie, in terms of my notion of Vermont as a spinoff of having watched Bernie Sanders. And I don't want to say curmudgeon-like, but in terms of, is that a proper feel?
Well,
for...
what's interesting is he's probably the most famous, I would guess, the most well-known Vermonter.
100%.
In this day and age, anyway. And he speaks with a thick Brooklyn accent.
Yeah.
Well, that's where his roots are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's where his roots are. And that sort of paints my notion of Vermont in terms of small community, going your own way, carving your own path. Have you run into that much in terms of your short time in Vermont? You pick that up when you interact with local Vermonters.
I mean, there are definitely curmudgeon types in Vermont, but I think you can find those anywhere. I think that there are more welcoming people than there are not. And so I think Bernie Sanders is a great guy, but I don't think he does the best job of defining everyone in Vermont, because I think the best way to describe it is I have one of my friends from here, her grandparents have friends in Middlebury, and like I don't know them. I had never met them, but they set up a dinner with me and they drove me to the airport to come here and they made me cookies. And like they had never met me. They decided to make me cookies for my plane ride. They're really excited for me to be in Vermont. Everyone is independent, yes, and like want to succeed in their own things, but everybody is nice. The way I would say it is like sometimes here we say nice things. Or we say like mean things kind of with a nice voice. Mm-hmm. I would say in Vermont, we say nice things in a mean voice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said you flew out of to come back here. Where did you fly out of?
I flew out of Burlington. My like travel days are, I have to have two layovers to get to Spokane from Burlington.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. I'd like to ask you, this is the reverse question we've been asking everybody when they've been from they come from other states. We ask them, what's it like when you go back, you know, let's say to West Virginia or Rhode Island or whatever. But for you, what's it like coming back to Sandpoint, having been away to college in Vermont? What's it like, your initial response?
Well, it's nothing really has changed here except that the Melody muffler is brighter now.
That's true. They did paint, didn't they?
But I think the big difference is that it's not so populated by college age students, and there's all of these familiar faces that I know. And I think it's like driving across the Long Bridge and coming back. It's just like that sense of familiarity that you get when you drive into town and the Christmas lights are
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Reason why the hesitation is we are taping Maddie before the Christmas holidays. These are all of our interviews for the 50 states have been before. And so we're trying not to locate ourselves in time. But, you know, that's good. What I'd like to ask you is, you know, when you talk about Middlebury, you know, essentially, it's the college within a town that's about the same size, and that becomes the focal point, whereas Sandpoint doesn't have that college, here that makes it different than your experience in Middlebury.
Yeah. It's definitely, I don't know what makes it so different. Like, the people seem very similar. Everybody here is welcoming and loves their town. Everyone loves Sandpoint. They don't want all the tourists to come in. You know, people feel the same way about Middlebury and Vermont. They don't want all of these college students to move to Middlebury after they graduate.
They just want them to matriculate.
Yeah, exactly.
And exit.
Yeah. So I think in that way, they're similar like that. But the difference is the amount of young people and older people here. So
right. How about food? Oh, Jack was going to ask something.
The exact same question. What have you found? What's new in the food world?
Or that they
world?
Call something so, different. Like, what's mm-hmm. what's a Coke or a Pepsi? Is that a soda? A soda pop?
Pop.
Mm-hmm. Pop?
Pop, yeah. Okay. But the fad is creamies.
Which creamies?
It's like soft serve, but it has a different amount of fat content. So it's creamier. But creamies are a Vermont classic, a maple creamy. I had it like my first week of school, and they're phenomenal.
It's a cold drink?
It's a soft serve ice cream.
Oh, okay. It's soft serve ice cream with maple?
With maple flavoring. Whoa. And it's also, there's more fat content. So it kind of is like if you had like half and half turned into ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Or like more, like if you, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do creamies come in different flavors?
Yeah, there's, my favorite is like a blueberry creamy. But yeah, they I wish they could make huckleberry creamies, but people on the East Coast don't know what huckleberries are.
Well, you know, I do find that a little bit of backing up. I do find that interesting because in Henry David Thoreau's Civil Disobedience, when he gets let out of jail, he's going to go lead a huckleberry party.
Interesting.
And, you know, that's in Massachusetts, which is
more east than Vermont.
But I have a feeling that here we have huckleberries, but blueberries back east might be similar.
Yeah.
But the word huckleberry, that's interesting. You know, I'm sort of thinking in terms of you have blueberries. I bet you there's wild blueberries that are probably, well, that's on your next mission when you go back and they're in season.
Find huckleberries.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else about or the food in Vermont? Any other local specialties that you've tried?
Any cheeses? Ooh,
there's really good cheeses. I can't. Uh-huh. I don't know the names of any of the cheeses, but we have a lot of cows in Vermont, so our dairy production is like most of our agricultural income.
And good cheese.
Uh-huh. It's really good cheese, and the milk is really like fresh.
Local. Yeah. Local.
Mm-hmm. Any French influence or any French accents that you're hearing?
In Burlington and north of Burlington, there are definitely more French speakers in Vermont because we're like Middlebury's about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Montreal. So definitely lots of French people.
That's interesting. See, we learned this when we were talking to New Hampshire. I had no idea that there was any real, you know, French culture in northern New England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking forward to, when you spend more time out there, to sneaking up into Canada and see what Canada is like above Vermont?
Oh, I'm so excited. The Frisbee team is going up to Montreal soon, and I'm really excited to practice French and just explore Montreal. I've never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on the Frisbee team.
I am. Yes, I play Ultimate Frisbee.
What's that like?
Oh, so much fun. It's kind of like if you put all the outdoor hippies on a sports team.
It's funded perfect. It's funded by the college?
Yeah, it's a club team because there's no, all of the United States Frisbee teams are all club teams still. Mm-hmm. So it's like the most competitive club team.
I see.
Well, Maddie, we are winding down, and is there anything that we haven't talked about in terms of your experiences in Vermont that you'd like to share with us?
I think that the mountains, I think that people on the West Coast a lot of the time think that the mountains on the East Coast aren't as spectacular, and they're not as big, but I think that that's a myth, and that there are great skiing areas and hiking areas that are kind of slept on.
Mm-hmm. I think a bit of the Appalachian Trail goes through Vermont.
It does, yes.
And, you know, I have only hiked part of it. But I think, you know, aren't eastern coast mountains worn down a little bit more? You know, that. But we want to thank you for taking time out for your busy schedule for Know Your States, Know Your Community, and continue to have wonderful experiences in Vermont at Middlebury.
Thank you so much for having me.